Morning, church.
Good morning.
It is good to be at the Colonial Avenue Baptist Church. It's been a little bit of time since I've been able to be with you all, but I am grateful for your pastor, Melissa Scott, for inviting me to come and share with you through a sermon this morning. I'm also grateful that she chose to put only one fun fact in the word of worship about me. We've known each other a very long time, and she could put lots of other things that probably shouldn't go into a word of worship. So I know you all have been praying for her during her healing and recovery from her knee surgery, and I know that she is anxious to get back and continue to serve alongside you all in person. But today, you get me, and I am grateful, like I said, to be here. I serve at Forest Park Church over in Northwest as the worship pastor there, and so and I'm like, I don't have a choir, so this was like really fun, like singing with people and not just me. So I thank you for that opportunity this morning. That was a blessing. So today we're going to talk about God-sized dreams. I wonder, have you ever had a dream or a big idea that at first glance seemed outlandish or crazy or even impossible? Have you ever stepped out in faith and fear and tried living out those dreams? We probably all have at one time or another as children or young adults, but it tends to get a little more difficult with age to jump into something new and different. New ideas and big dreams bring about change, and sometimes it feels a whole lot easier just to stay put and not step into the unknown. Here's a few folks that you might be familiar with that had big dreams, and despite facing failures and rejections, they kept leaning into the dreams that were calling them to live beyond their here and now. Michael Jordan, famous basketball player, was cut from his high school basketball team. This one's my favorite because he's one of my favorite people. Walt Disney was fired from his job at a newspaper early in his career. They said he lacked imagination. Steven Spielberg was rejected from film school 3 times. John Grisham's book that kind of launched his career, A Time to Kill, was rejected 28 times. Albert Einstein had the label mentally slow put on his permanent school record. Just those shows, those don't really matter. Henry Ford's first 2 automobile companies failed. Oprah Winfrey was fired from an early job as a television news anchor. Jerry Seinfeld was booed off stage in his first stand-up comedy. This one I didn't know at all. Sir James Dyson suffered through 5,126 failed prototypes before he landed on the first working Dyson vacuum. Elvis Presley was fired from the Grand Ole Opry and was told to go back to truck driving. And Colonel Harlan Sanders of KFC fame was rejected over 1,000 times before finding a franchise. I think we can all agree that each of these people were absolutely right to not give up on the dreams they had. They were right to not believe the 1 or 2 or thousands of rejections to their dreams and hard work that they faced until one day when someone saw potential and came alongside these dreamers and encouraged them to live fully into their work and help them to see their dreams become reality. I believe it's safe to say that were it not for someone at some point in our lives coming alongside us when we were feeling rejected and defeated and simply wanting just to stay put in fear of more failure, we would not be where we are today. Take a moment and consider those teachers, coaches, family members, friends, co-workers, ministers, and others who have been pivotal in your life personally. The ones that helped you get up and keep moving forward despite the difficulties you already had overcome. Despite the difficulties they knew would still likely lie ahead. The folks that have invested in each of you when others gave up on you are invaluable. I believe the greatest fuel for those feeling run down and rejected is the fire of someone who believes in you and joins you in moving beyond the here and now and walks with you into the exciting unknown. Now let's consider some biblical failures that if we only knew the first part of their stories, we would never ever have believed that they could have been more than just Moses, a man with a stuttering voice who begged God for someone to speak on his behalf. Or David, a scrawny little shepherd boy delivering lunches to his brawny big brothers. Or Mary, a young teen girl who was found pregnant out of wedlock. Or Paul, a tyrant against followers of Jesus. We know each of these stories have amazing God-sized stories that are so much more than their beginnings. Because Aaron was willing to serve with Moses, and Saul was willing to see David's potential, and Elizabeth believed Mary's dreams. Barnabas encouraged Paul to be bold for Christ, and in each life, God saw the potential for them to show the world that what looked improbable and impossible was absolutely possible. God provided the fuel to their mustard seed faith through providing the resources and encouragement and advocates they needed each step along the way. The Apostle Paul, as we know, became such an advocate to the early church as he faced himself multiple rejections, beatings, imprisonments. He still encouraged, instructed, and guided the churches to keep walking forward in faith in Christ, to share and live out the good news. Paul wrote countless letters to the early believers, and in each one that we have record of, we read of his commitment to pray for the believers, even when he could not be present with them. Paul knew that prayers for one another with the Holy Spirit advocating on their behalf before God were precious and powerful and a necessary foundation to live out the calling God had placed on them and live fully into the future. One such prayer, which Mary read to us earlier, is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And Paul wrote this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That's a powerful prayer. And Paul knew and prayed in complete faith for the church at Ephesus that God had God-sized dreams for them. And guess what? This prayer was not just for that church in Ephesus. This prayer transcends time and culture. And this prayer is for you and for me and all Christ followers around the world today working to live out the God-sized dreams that have been given to each of us. This prayer encourages us not to be fearful. This prayer calls us into faith-filled living. This prayer commands us to stand firm in God's call. This prayer shouts, "Dream big, children. Don't be stagnant. Look at what God has done and what God wants to do. Trust and believe. God has God-sized dreams for you and for the church." For 16 years, I served as a pastor with children and families. 6 of those years were as a chaplain with families experiencing homelessness. 2 things I always made sure the children knew while they were staying in shelter with us were, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." I often had parents come to me after I taught the children these songs, and most of which were preschoolers. And preschoolers don't know how to whisper if you're not familiar. And quite honestly, I would teach them to sing loudly. So I would often have parents come to me during the week and say, "You know those songs you taught my kids in chapel?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, they were singing so loudly in their stroller or walking next to me downtown, everybody stopped to listen. I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "That's a good message for everybody." But my goal is that I help plant those little mustard seeds of faith during their stays with us at the rescue mission. That those little prayer songs matter. And my prayer, like Paul's, is that wherever they end up in life, that they will know that there's a God that loves them and has plans for them beyond anything they could possibly dream or imagine. The past 2 years, I have lived into a God-sized dream for myself and the rescue mission as the Agape Aftercare Coordinator. In this role, I have the complete privilege to come alongside our guests, men, women, and families, as they prepare to move from homelessness and living in the shelter to living in their own permanent, stable, safe, and affordable housing. I also work with local churches to provide training and support so that they, along with me, can continue to provide encouragement, supportive resources, and spiritual guidance to these guests as they learn how to live beyond their fears and lean fully into this amazing life that God has for them. I invite your church to prayerfully consider how you can join in this amazing God-sized dream by becoming an Agape Aftercare partner, to be encouragers and advocates and guides for a person or a family that needs it so desperately as they learn how not just to survive this life, but to thrive beyond anything they could possibly dream or imagine. I have one last story to share with you as we consider what God-sized dreams God has for each of us, individually and corporately. In May of 2019, Amber came to the rescue mission in need of a fresh start. She struggled with being there and ultimately left after 2 months and went back to living on the streets. In November of 2020, Amber returned to the mission. She was tired. She had been using meth. She had been raped. She had been attacked. A person from a local church she had grown up who knew that the rescue mission could help her brought her to the mission. She had already surrendered her life and her drug addiction to God when she arrived to us the second time. She was ready to do what was necessary to move forward and live fully into what God had planned for her. Amber worked hard during her stay at the mission and continued to do so as she became part of the Agape Aftercare program when she moved into her own apartment in May of 2021. She had already built a strong relationship with a local church and continued to seek God and thrive well past her circumstances. In March of this year, she and several hundred other tenants at the English Garden Apartments were told that the property management company would not be renewing any leases and everyone needed to seek other places to live. Although this news was difficult to receive, Amber leaned fully on her faith in God and sought out assistance from her church family and assistance from the Agape Aftercare Program to provide her direction and support, as well as many other local agencies to assist with housing options. In July, just 2 months ago, Amber secured a new apartment that is even better, as she says, than the one she had been living in. She also applied for and accepted a position to work at the Rescue Mission as a shelter supervisor in our Women and Children's Center. Today, Amber is not only my sister in Christ, but she's my co-laborer in the mission doing kingdom work together. Talk about a God-sized dream. If that don't give you Jesus bumps, I don't know what will. So I want to read our passage one more time. And this time it's from the Message translation, which is my favorite translation of these verses. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parses out all heaven and earth. I ask God to strengthen you by his Spirit, not by a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. God does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, the Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes, glory. Most holy God, we often think small, we dream small, we cower back in fear and not lean fully into what you're calling us out to do. God, I just pray that we would live into this prayer that is for us today, individually and collectively. God, that you want us to experience this life and live it to the fullest, this abundant, abundant life that you have provided. God, help us not to live in fear and be scared about what that next step is. God, because we know without a doubt you are a God who is with us. You have promised it, and you are a God that does not go back on promises. God, this is an exciting new day in the life of the church worldwide. You are doing an amazing work within us. God, help us to shed our